through geoengineering.
In our second of two episodes on hacking, we'll examine these modern versions of hacking and whether they truly are hacks, or whether it's even always a bad thing. Could you hack something to improve on it?
That's in the second of our two Big Picture Science episodes on hacking. Next time, angles of a hack. Well, thanks to the team that always whistles while they work, Senior Producer Gary Niederhoff, Operations Manager Barbara Vance, and Intern Daniel Marino.
Thanks also to financial support from Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David, and to the William K. Bowes Jr. Foundation. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, a nonprofit scientific and education organization whose scientists study the origin and nature of life, including the rings and moons of Saturn, everyone's favorite planet. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to an episode of Big Picture Science called Plan of a Hack. The first of two episodes on the theme of hacking. Tune in to the second episode, Angles of a Hack. And if you want to hear still more Big Picture Science episodes, you'll find them in our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener but prefer listening to over-the-air radio because you figure those E&M waves can't be easily hacked, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like this show.
And you too can be dancing with Daddy G every Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Malt Shop, right here on WHFR.FM. The jukebox will be spinning the platters from the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Be there! Or be square.
This is the magic of radio, and you are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Reverend Eileen Patra. She is an ordained minister, I should say ordained Unity minister, currently serving as senior minister at the Unity of Livonia in Livonia, Michigan. Funny how that works out, right? So, Reverend Eileen, thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Right. Well, thank you for being here once again. Now, how long have you been the minister at Unity of Livonia?
I've been at Unity of Livonia for 4.5 years. I've served previously in a ministry in West Branch, Michigan that I founded in 2007. And before that, and actually during that time, I also served as the teen consultant for the Great Lakes region of Unity Churches.
Mm-hmm. So you've been with Unity for quite a while now. How many years?
Oh, my. Let's see. I think it was in 1998 that I became the teen ministry leader at Unity of Royal Oak when my kids were in the program. And that just little by little led me into taking classes, and eventually that became a desire to become credentialed.
Mm-hmm. And what led you to become a minister in Unity?
Well, funny you should ask. I'd like to start, if you don't mind, with how I actually got to Unity in the first place.
Oh, by all means.
And that started with someone loaning me a book by one of the co-founders of Unity, Charles Fillmore. It was a book called The 12 Powers. And in that book, Charles Fillmore, the author, talks about the spiritual faculties that each of us are born with. And he likened those, or he saw those faculties showing up represented by the 12 disciples. And I was, man, this is in the 1970s, I was just fascinated with this book. And I wanted to know, you know, more about it. I wanted a copy of it myself, and I saw it was published at this place called Unity Village. And I said, man, there's a village full of these people? I need to know more. And so I looked for a Unity church in my area and found Unity of Royal Oak. And that eventually led me, as I said, to being a youth minister. And the first chance I got to go to this place called Unity Village was for a youth ministry training. I went, hey, I can justify spending the money for that because it's a good thing to do. And I got there, and it was like the most amazing experience I ever had. Mm-hmm. It was just so peaceful and beautiful. I felt like I was home.
Right. You just knew it was the right place at the right time and all that stuff?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Did you know right away, or did it take a... I don't know, maybe a day or two, or how long did it take?
It unfolded over a number of years, really. At that first trip, I just thought, well, this will be fun. I'm working with youth, and I'll get a little training. And then, you know, someone would drop a little remark like, well, you know, you can get this credential if you take these classes. And I could go, well, there's another trip to Unity Village. I'd be happy to do that. And little by little, this occurred, and I just kept getting this nudge inside that there was something more.
Right.
And so I found myself taking more and more classes, and eventually I became a licensed Unity teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And with that credential, you're allowed to pioneer a church. And my husband and I have a cabin up near West Branch.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be up there for the weekends, and it was like, there's no Unity Church near here, you know. And boy, they could really use a Unity Church here. And so we set out to do that, and we kept that church going for 7 years, and then it continued for a few more years after we came back to this area.
Mm-hmm. So your husband is also a member of Unity as well? I mean, was it a joint venture that you wanted to start this?
Well, interesting. When I first started going to Unity, he was still attending the Catholic Church, and so we went to separate churches for quite some time. And our kids, we gave the kids the choice, and so sometimes they would go with him, and sometimes they would come with me. And this was when they were pretty young. And eventually they started coming more and more with me. They felt more at home. They felt more accepted. And eventually he decided he would come with us a few times. And he said the first time he walked into Unity of Royal Oak, he just felt like he was home.
Mm-hmm.
And
He had the same sensation that you did?
He did, absolutely.
Yeah, great.
And he's my right-hand person. You know, it would be very difficult to do ministry without him.
Mm-hmm. He's like your assistant, is he?
Yeah. He likes to call himself the gopher. He says, I'm happy just being the gopher.
Yeah, really? Well, okay. He serves a purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's very important, right?
Yeah.
Well, now, what can you tell us about Unity? What are the principles of Unity?
Well, Unity is very different, I think, in many ways. I was searching for the right kind of church. I had a very strict upbringing. I was brought up Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking for something different that wasn't serving me. And what I found about Unity is that not only were they accepting, but they really believed that everyone's path was their own individual path. And yet we really all end up in the same place, in the same path. And they don't have a lot of dogma. You know, there's teachings, but it's not dogma. And
right.
Some people come to Unity and still practice another faith as well. And I found that very wonderful, actually. And so anyway, there are really five principles that Unity really holds to be true. And the first one is that there is only one power, one presence, one activity, God the good.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that not everyone calls that one power, one presence, one activity God. You may call it something else. And then the second is like it, is that each of us, every one of us, is an expression of that one power, one presence. And we call that the Christ. Some call it the higher self or, you know, something else, but we call that the Christ. And the third, and this was always my favorite when I first got into Unity, is that our thoughts, our feelings, our words, and our actions create our experiences. And so when we're conscious of our thoughts, our words, and our actions, then we consciously create the world that we're living in. We consciously create our experiences. And then the fourth is prayer and meditation, and affirmations and denials are the tools that we use. And meditation, of course, is one of the things that really drew me in. I said that I felt like I was at home when I got to Unity of Royal Oak. That's where I got my first copy of this book called The 12 Powers. Mm-hmm. Because I went looking for the book and I found Unity of Royal Oak. They might have it. And I called them up and I said, so do you have this book? And they said, oh yeah, we have that in our bookstore, but our bookstore is only open on Sunday, so you'll need to come to one of our services. I'm like in my early 20s, right? And I'm like, church service, okay. Yeah. You know, but I showed up. And they meditated in the service. I went, well, this is cool. Mm-hmm. I think I like this. So prayer and meditation are a big part of Unity. And affirmative prayer is the foundation that Unity is built upon. And prayer and meditation are our fourth principle. And the fifth is that it's not enough to know these principles. It's not enough to know the truth. We need to live our truth day to day.
Is that the really hard part, living those truths?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It gives me lots of material for Sunday morning, you know, because I too, you know, I'm no different, really.
Right. Well, we're all human, right. You know, so, I mean, we are capable of doing good things as well as bad, but, I mean, we try to do our best. And sure. Do you feel that most people try to do that?
I believe that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. And I agree that we have our struggles with human experience, and yet, you know, I believe that we are expressions of the divine. Mm-hmm. And so in our spiritual being, we're perfect, we're whole. And then there is this human experience that is challenging and difficult, and so we don't always make the right choices, or we don't always think the right thoughts.
Right. Well, again, we do our best, I think. I think most people are conscious of that. But again, nobody's perfect, and we have our days or our moments or whatever the case may be. Sure. Now, when it comes to meditation, do you meditate on a daily basis?
I do. I meditate first thing in the morning every day. I also have some tools where I bring myself to a meditative moment in the heat of something. One of the things I learned along the way was what I call breathing through the heart. And so I can be in a situation that's, you know, anxiety-producing and remind myself to go to my heart. And I just imagine that I'm breathing through my heart. And if there's a person in front of me who is, you know, triggering that anxiety, I kind of breathe through my heart towards them. And I feel that kind of calms the energy a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that generally works? I mean, to calm down the situation?
It often works very well if I remember to do it.
Yeah, right. Have you been surprised at some of the results you've had when you've done that?
I have. I had an experience a few years ago. My husband and I drove to Cleveland with our daughter and son-in-law to see an art show. And we got to the hotel, and it was something we booked online, and we got in line to check in, and I apparently spoke out of turn to the man at the counter, because I thought that he was addressing me, but he was on a headset on the phone, and he got very irritated that I had said I was coming to check in. You know, it said something kind of rude to me, and I stepped back, and I started breathing this way, you know. My daughter was outraged, you know. She's like, you don't have to talk to her like that. And this man took his headset off, threw it on the counter, and walked out the door and quit his job right wow. in front of me.
And that's so, extreme right there.
It was very extreme. You know. And so the whole family was getting very upset, and I was just sitting there the whole time kind of breathing through my heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anyway, he never came back, but the rest of the staff eventually came out and tried to soothe everything and did what they could to make up for the situation. So it did calm and did resolve. And I never really lost my cool. I was just sort of watching this going, wow, this is really interesting. I've got some great material for a talk here.
Right, yeah. Hopefully somebody else will learn a lesson. But yeah. You probably just had a bad day.
Yeah, knows, I was just the straw that broke whatever.
Yeah, right. You were it. Yeah, yeah, right. And briefly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And this month, my special guest is Reverend Eileen Patra. She is currently serving as a senior minister at Unity of Livonia. Now, how do you breathe from the heart? I mean, it sounds good, but how do you actually do that?
Well, I mean, we're really breathing from that area to begin with. If you think about it, that's when you're breathing, you
right.
feel
I,
your
I
chest
know,
rising.
Yeah. Actually, the heart is more in the center of your
right,
body,
right.
but I don't know. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I try to imagine that the breath is not actually going in through my nose, but actually going in and out through my chest. And that's really an energetic thing. I took a class several years ago by an organization called HeartMath. And they say that the heart, actually the physical heart, is more intelligent than the brain.
Really?
And really holds more intelligence. So when we actually bring our attention into our heart, we come from a more intelligent space. We come from a place of love, and we allow more wisdom to come through our actions.
Mm-hmm. Well, people say that, you know, if you really get in touch with your heart, you'll find out, you'll know what it is you're supposed to do, whatever the case may be, whether it's a profession or whatever. The hard part is acting on it. How do you inspire people to act upon some of the things that maybe their heart is telling them or has helped them to achieve certain levels of understanding? How do you get people to do that, and what do you tell them?
Well, I don't know that I can really get people to do things, but what I like to do is share my own experiences, like the one I just shared with you about the trip to Cleveland. And I think often by sharing those personal experiences and how I've survived that, or I have thrived in the midst of that, helps people to remember to take a moment, take a breath before we respond to things. You know, and certainly our whole world could use a little more taking a breath before we respond, and we might be having a whole different experience if we could all do that.
Right. Well, again, it's hard to get that message out to everybody, especially
sure.
with the things that are going on in the world right now.
Right.
And, I mean, just threat of nuclear war, perhaps, and a few other things.
Right.
But, it's easier said than done, but it's got to start somewhere. Now, do you feel that as the minister of Livonia Unity, you are helping to, I don't know, throw that pebble in the stream so that things ripple and they grow outward, so that you never know what, you know, one person that you've taught or have talked to might help to enlighten others? I mean, does that affect you at all? Do you think of that at all?
I do believe that, I believe that of all of us, regardless of our role. Mine just happens to be as a minister right now. My original degree was in fine arts, and I felt that I had a message to paint, and
mm-hmm.
I felt I had a message to write. Well, that led me in a very odd way into ministry. So while I don't pick up a paintbrush, what I try to do is paint an image in my listener's mind of the power that's within them, you know, and try to continually remind them that they have the power to change their own lives. And by changing their own lives and their own thinking, they affect everyone around them. So it's not just me that causes the ripple, it's all of us. And when we consciously do that, then we created the ripple that we choose to create.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, when you're preparing a sermon, what are the things that you consider about talking? I mean, is it something that might have happened to you during the week, or how do you come up with some of your ideas for sermons?
Well, it's funny. Most of the time, my sermons come through as a title first. Mm-hmm. It's as if I'm having someone whisper in my ear what the talk title is going to be, and I don't necessarily know how that's going to unfold. It develops over the week, and inevitably, I believe, Spirit gives me an experience that fits the talk title. Mm-hmm. And so I live it during that week and go, wow, okay, could we live it just a little less sometimes?
Yeah, right.
But it makes for, you know, good conversation, and I think it really helps people to be able to relate to another person's experience. They can take that home and think about how that works for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you get these ideas through meditation usually, or how does that work?
Well, yes. Sometimes it comes through meditation, and sometimes I'm inspired by something that's going on in the world. I recently was the guest minister at Chautauqua Institute, representing Unity there in New York, and I did a talk called Conquering Crocodiles.
Okay.
conquering the crocodiles and living the fearless life. Excuse me. And so what I explained is that we can't do without fear. You know, we're always going to have fear.
Right.
And fear
right.
has its role. You know, it mm-hmm. protects our human bodies. And however, we can live with less fear. And so I used the, excuse me for just a second, please.
Well, again, it gets back to the fight or flight response. I mean, you know, you're ready to fight and you want to react, but fear isn't necessary because it is, I don't know, self-preservation. You
right.
know, sometimes
right.
you have to be afraid in order to save yourself, you know, not to do something mm-hmm. or perhaps do something that you didn't think you could do.
Exactly. And so in this talk, you know, because I'm looking around and I'm seeing fear being the underlying energy of much of what we're experiencing in our world today. And so it seemed like a very appropriate talk. And so the idea really was about creating something other than the fight or flight response. You know, if you're feeling as though you want to fight, you can be guaranteed that it's fear that's triggering that response.
Right.
And if you're feeling like you run away, it's fear that's triggering that. So could we create a new pattern that when there is a danger, and it's not really a real danger, but it's a perceived danger, or it's a possible danger down the road, if we could add face it. So it's, you know, fight, flight, or face it, and face it from a conscious awareness. And so I used the way that crocodile trainers train crocodiles. And one is that they're very aware of the power of that crocodile.
Yes. That's very important. That's, one of the first things you should learn.
Yeah. And they keep their distance. And so for me, keeping distance from fear is perhaps, putting a limit on how much media I will expose myself to, enough that I know what's going on, but not enough to constantly trigger that fear response. Because when we're constantly triggering the fear response, we're building up that part of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can remove ourselves from that, and meditation is one of the ways we do that, we build more parts of our discerning part of our brain. And so the executive part of our brain gets more activity, and that can only help us in facing the fears that we have to face.
Mm-hmm. So do you try to tell people to stay in the now? Is that one of their messages as well?
Well, yeah, absolutely. A lot of our fear response comes from what we've experienced in the past. Or mm-hmm. what we are afraid we might experience in
right.
the future.
Fear of the unknown,
Or what we saw on TV that, you know, suddenly we believe that this is what's happening in every single circle of the world. And really, if you look out right around you, is that what's happening? You know, is that what's happening in your personal relationships with people that you're with every day?
Right.
Perhaps not.
Right. Right. Well, they say that people that watch too much, say, for instance, TV, you know, just news and stuff, they have a perception that there's more violence and more crime than there really is because that's all they're seeing on the news and that's their perception. Whereas if they really examine the facts, it's not quite that bad, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, it's out there, but obviously the news is going to make it sensational to get viewers and what have you. So, I mean, I think people have to have some kind of perspective, don't they?
Absolutely. And I think that's really a big key is, you know, recognizing that what we see on TV is real, but it's not the only thing going on, you know.
Right.
So put that in perspective of everything else that's going on in your personal life and what you see on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
You know, as I walk around day-to-day, I don't see, I get it that it's happening. I'm not denying that those things are happening. It's just not, they're not everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's good stuff happening.
Right. Yeah, those things don't get reported, though. But also, now you've got fake news that you don't know what to believe.
Right.
You know, it could be something totally made up, but you just see it and you think, oh, that must be real, you know, and it's not always the case.
Right,
you know?
And I guess if it's going to be made up, then let's make up something good so that we can focus our intention on something that's positive.
That's right. Well, let's make it really juicy or whatever.
Remember, our thoughts create our experience, so let's think about something good.
Mm-hmm. Generally, how long does it take you to write a sermon? I mean, does it? I'm sure there's probably weeks it's easier than others, but generally speaking, how long does it take, would you say?
I usually devote about 10 hours a week to writing my talk.
Okay.
Yeah. And like I said, it does develop over the week, but a good 10 hours goes into that. People are surprised when they hear that.
Because they think that...
They think I just work on Sundays.
Oh, really? Yeah. You just wake up, oh, there it is. Yeah, okay, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Right. It's something that you work throughout the week and what have you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, again, when you quote the Bible and stuff, are those things that come to you, or is that something you research that you find something that fits in with your topic for any particular Sunday?
It comes in different ways. Sometimes the scripture verse will generate the talk, and sometimes the talk will have me searching the Bible and finding scripture that fits with that particular message.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because I do want to say, I mean, I did go to your service a couple of weeks ago now, but you used the word sway. I remember that. There was a story about that, a gentleman crossing Niagara Falls. Can you relay that to us, please?
Oh, sure. That was it was about a half a century ago. There was a gentleman who was going to cross Niagara Falls on a high wire, and he was going to carry another man on his shoulders. And this is a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And so they practiced for weeks and weeks about crossing this, you know, about walking on the high wire. And he kept, the tightrope walker kept telling the man who was going to be on his shoulders, all you really have to do is do exactly as I do. If I sway to the right, you sway to the right. If I sway to the left, you sway to the left. And that's all you have to remember. If you don't do that, we're both going to be in trouble if you try to sway the other way. And so they practiced and practiced for weeks, and they finally got on the tightrope, and they're walking across, and they're about three quarters of the way there. And all of a sudden, the center strand of the tightrope breaks into two, and it sends a gigantic vibration through the wire. And so the walker is going back and forth, and you know, so the guy on his shoulders is trying to stay with him, you know, from one side to the other and stay with it, and then it breaks again. And so they have this tremendous difficulty of the wire swaying back and forth, but they managed to get across to thunderous applause. And then years later, the man who was on the tightrope walker's shoulders said that he started telling people that he learned more about religion in that one day on that tightrope than he learned anywhere else in all his life. He learned that if you sway with God, that everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, no, that because your inclination is to go the opposite way to try to balance,
right,
I would think. But
right, sure.
The fact that he did that... Yeah, it's amazing things like that, you know, how people go through accidents or some type of, you know, catastrophe and they get religion or whatever. And I think that's one of the things. I mean, isn't it just to believe that everything's going to be okay and just trust in the powers that be to get you through.
Well, and it's believe it, trust it, and then live that too. And that's the part that gets difficult. You know, for me, swaying with God is a thing that in unity we call non-resistance. You know, what we resist persists, as the saying goes. But when we stop resisting, you know, our way becomes much smoother and much more balanced. So, you know, we can say that we trust in God, but when we really trust in God, we can let go and you know, and walk that path, regardless of what comes up in our lives.
Right. But the hard part is actually letting go, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You say your prayers and then let go and let it unfold and live as if it's already answered. Live as if it's true.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
With great effort sometimes.
Okay. Yeah, right. Well, that's just it. It's a belief system, isn't it? Or part of it is?
It's a belief system. And the more we live it, the stronger that belief system becomes and the more embedded it becomes in our nature. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, you know, our thinking creates our experiences. And, you know, from a scientific realm, we know that our thinking creates neural pathways. So if we are thinking positive thoughts, we're creating neural pathways that create a more positive thinking. So it kind of builds upon itself.
Mm-hmm. And again, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. My name is Mike Holloway. The show you're listening to is Metaphysically Speaking. And my guest this month is Reverend Eileen Patra, and she is serving as the senior minister at Unity of Livonia. But according to your bio, it also says you're an author. And what have you written?
Well, I've written a number of articles published in the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide and published in the newspaper up in West Branch. Mm-hmm. And I have an article that's going to be published very soon in the Unity Leaders Journal. And I am also working on a book. I've just completed the first draft of a manuscript, and I'm in the revision process at this point, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, right. So there's no target date as when the book is going to be done or come out?
I would love to have it done before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have it done in the next 30 days. Finding time to work on it is a trick at this point, because mm-hmm. I have a pretty full schedule.
Right. And can you tell us what the book's about?
Well, it's a different look at what's inside the lost ark.
Okay.
And so this is more of a found ark, and what mm-hmm. we find in it is that what we've held to believe as rules by a judgmental and angry God are actually blessings. And the blessings all begin with the very first one, and that is, I am the Lord your God. You know, and so that for me is there's one power, one presence, one activity that I choose to call God, mm-hmm. and that everything emanates from that one power, that one presence. And if we can believe that, understand that, and live from that awareness, all the rest is cake. Mm-hmm. So it's just a very, very different look at what we might find were we to discover the ark today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. I mean, it's a different perspective. Is that based on what you perceive to be true or some kind of basis in fact, or what is that based on?
It's what I perceive to be true.
Okay.
And with all my heart. And it began with a series of talks that I did that I only touched the surface in the talks. I started writing the book about a year or two ago, and I did a weekend workshop that was Write Your Book in a Weekend. And that book came out, but it came out in a much different way, a way that I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And do you really enjoy being a speaker and, you know, giving lessons each week and going to different churches and being the visiting pastor? Does that... You know, something, is that something you really enjoy doing?
I do. I think speaking is probably my favorite part of what I do. And I find that very interesting. I can remember my very first speech in speech class. I had my, you know, hands were gripping the table,
knuckles,
and I was shaking so hard. And I really believed that thing of, you know, people would rather, you know, die than do public speaking. And now I find it's just, I walk up there and this wonderful experience happens through me, and it's just a real joy.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself, do you think you're kind of channeling some of the things that you're talking about?
In some ways, I guess so. I don't know if I would call it channeling in the traditional sense, but it is definitely spirit working through me. I know often people will talk to me and afterwards and say, you know, when you said such and such, you know, and I go, I don't remember saying that, but okay.
Yeah, right. Okay. Sounds good to me. Yeah. Okay, now also something I'd like to touch upon. You've got something that we do a similar thing here to raise funds for WHFR. We have the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, but you're having something similar coming up next month in October. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we're very excited. It's our fourth annual Body, Mind, Spirit Holistic Festival, and that will be held on Saturday, October 7th from 10 to 5, and we're just absolutely thrilled. This has been an amazing, not only fundraiser, but consciousness-raising event for us. It has raised our own consciousness as a congregation about our ability to do things, and we really believe that we're helping to raise the consciousness of our community by offering these holistic exhibitions.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but you have speakers as well, right? So, I mean, that helps get the message out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I really believe in a holistic life. You know, it's not just our spiritual well-being, but our, you know, our body needs spiritual well-being as well.
Yeah, right.
And you know, and I believe in holistic ways of healing. I actually believe that, you know, prayer and holistic, all types of healing really are accessing or helping us to access the same healing energy. It's just different modalities.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we offer an opportunity for people to see some different ideas and places that they can connect with healers and just some amazing people.
Mm-hmm. So by holistic, you don't eat any corny hot dogs or anything like that? Or?
Well, I don't know if I go that far. I do like my pizza and my popcorn.
Okay.
But
all right, there you go. Everybody has their little vices, right?
Right.
To a certain degree. But now some of the people that you have, I mean, I'm sure you're going to have readers. Can you tell us about some of the readers you might have or some of the vendors or participants of this event?
Yes, absolutely. I think of our readers as people who are just very, they have very evolved intuitive skills. And so when they're doing a reading for you, they're able to sometimes touch something that you may not be aware of yourself or that you may have hidden from yourself. And so I find that to be a very helpful thing sometimes to have another person who is that intuitive help you unravel something. And so we have a number of really good people. There is, I believe his name is Bill Hobart. I understand he is an excellent reader. We have several really excellent readers who, and they do things, they read things in different ways, so they're not all the same.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, I'm sure probably some read tarot cards. I mean, it's interesting all the different things that, you know, are out there. Now, for this event, I mean, do you have trouble organizing it or... Has it generally come to you pretty quickly and smoothly and all that good stuff?
Well, the first one we did, the very first one, we had about 8 weeks to put it on. Penny Golden from Body, Mind, Spirit Guide came to us with that idea.
A wonderful person.
She's
wonderful.
Amazing. And she heard that we needed a new roof, and she thought this would be a good idea. She brought this to us, and in 8 weeks, we pulled this off. Now, having experienced that, we pretty much spend the whole year planning the event, and we have an amazing group of volunteers that put this on.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a lot of work, but it's really worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. So that was initially the reason, just to fix the roof, right? Now, has that been Totally taken care of?
Well, with the funds we raised the first year and a very low interest loan from Unity Worldwide Ministries, we got the work done. So now the funds are going to help us reduce that loan, and also they go towards other building repairs.
Mm-hmm.
The building was built in 1970. It was kind of neglected for a little while when, you know, the economy kind of dived. And we have 7 flat roofs, so when one's done, another one's ready to be done.
Yeah. Funny how that works out, huh?
Yeah.
If they could all be fixed
right.
at once, it'd be nice just to have it all done with. Now, have you noticed fluctuations in the congregation? You mentioned something about the economy. I would imagine that might dictate how many people are coming in and out of the church at any one time. Have you noticed trends over the years about that?
Well, I've only been there for 4.5 years. It was kind of down when I got there. We've been building pretty steadily over the last few years. And an interesting thing occurring this summer, our numbers are up, and traditionally churches experience a decline during the summer, and that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, we are actually increasing numbers over the summer, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, that's great. Now, for your event, do you have a pretty good turnout?
We do. We have about 350, 400 people, and we're working hard to make that even bigger this year.
That's very good. You'll have to share some of your secrets, because we'd like to boost our crowds, too.
We're putting in a lot of effort into marketing this
mm-hmm.
year.
So. Right. And how are you marketing? What are you doing?
Well, we market a lot through social media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty much free, which is wonderful.
Right.
And
yep.
then... Body, Mind, Spirit Guide is our sponsor, so they are doing a great job of helping us with the marketing and, a few other print materials. We have a marketing team who looks for every free possibility and every low-cost possibility. We also have some postcards that we are, hand-delivering or mailing to people and asking them to post wherever they can. Every couple of weeks, we pass them out at church and say, here, take 3 of these, find a place to put them.
Right, so. Right. Well, again, that's important to get the word out, obviously. People mm-hmm. aren't going to be there if they don't know about it.
Right.
But again, if your congregation is motivated, that certainly helps, and it sounds like they are.
They are. It's, like I said, it's not only our biggest fundraiser, it's probably our most exciting event of the year. People really enjoy putting it on as well as being there.
Mm-hmm. So you have other events during the year?
We do, not necessarily focused on fundraising. One of our other favorite events is our Circulation Day, and we did that in June this year. Circulation Day is like a giant yard sale, but everything is free.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you just circulate it? And
yeah, so everybody brings in the things you would normally put a price tag on, and we invite the community to come in, and it's really a treat to watch
mm-hmm.
people find their treasures, and sometimes people are really in need, so they're incredibly grateful.
Right.
And it's a very heartwarming feeling.
Right. They get some good appliances or whatever, and I mean, that's very nice. And then people can go around and get whatever they need, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, and you just do that once a year?
That we do once a year. We also have a few concerts throughout the year, and some movies that we've shown. We showed a movie last year, earlier this year, on the 12 Powers. We're going to be showing a film November 9th called Rooted in Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be screening that film. It'll be a first screening of that film.
And you also have services on Wednesday, too, correct?
We do. Service on Sunday at 10 and service on Wednesday at 7. And the Wednesday night service is the first half of it is primarily meditation, and the second half is a spiritual discussion on the topic of the week, sometimes related to Sunday and sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're working with a book called The Gold Throne Method. And it's a getting rid of your stuff.
Okay. I mean, literally getting all way of, giving away your possessions?
No, getting rid of the stuff we carry around emotionally.
Oh, the emotional baggage. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Getting rid of emotional baggage. So, we do a meditation. We do a little talk about some of the things that we carry and, what that's like and what it's like to let that go, what it's like to build more trust in spirit and live your life in you know, walking and living your faith.
Right. Now, you mentioned your husband is on board, but how many children do you have? You mentioned the daughter.
I do. I have two. I have a daughter, Julie, and my son's name is Stephen.
And do they follow the Unity way, so to speak?
Well, they do. They don't attend right now, but they're both very spiritual people, and they're both grown and married. And mm-hmm. they were pretty much raised in Unity. They were both involved in the teen program, and they're just great people.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you find it rewarding when you worked with the teens as part of the Unity program?
Yeah, absolutely. My husband and I both did, and we often talk about our memories, and we still stay connected with some of the kids who are, of course, grown up now.
Yeah.
we first worked with the middle school kids. We put on retreats for middle school kids for 12, 13 years, and then the last couple of years we were also doing the high school retreats. We call the middle school kids Uniteens and the high school kids YOU, which is Youth of Unity. And the retreats are just amazing. The kids come and they find a space where they can feel completely accepted and be, you know, they're able to just really share from their deepest parts of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do these retreats last a week or just a weekend?
Well, for the Uniteens, the middle school kids, they're just a weekend. The high school kids have, they actually have several events a year. In the fall, they have a weekend retreat. And then they have some sub-regional, these are regional, so it's the entire Great Lakes region. And then they have sub-regional events that different churches will put on. And then in the summer, they have a week-long rally that's held in Wisconsin. And there's also a week at Unity Village that's an international event that's mm-hmm. pretty amazing, too.
Yeah, that would be international. Now, where is this village at?
It's in Lee's, well, it's actually Unity Village is in Missouri, near Lee's Summit. I want to say southeast of Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
south of
okay.
Kansas City.
Yeah, so Missouri, though.
Yeah.
And once again, quickly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. The show name is Metaphysically Speaking. My name is Mike Holloway. My special guest is Reverend Eileen Patra, and she is currently serving as senior minister at Unity of Livonia. Now, do you foresee staying in Unity for many more years?
Oh, sure. I'll always be a Unity student. We refer to ourselves as students, and so I guess I'll be a lifelong student of Unity. You know, right now, Livonia is my place to be, and I see that I will always be in some way sharing what Spirit is sharing with me, whether it be through Sunday talks and serving in a ministry, or whether it would be writing or, you know, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm. So you feel that somewhere along the line you'll be guided to possibly do something different? I mean, you're just not going to, you know, say, well, gee, I'm tired of this. You're just going to let Spirit talk to you and kind of dictate where you might go or what you might do.
That's how I ended up where I am. You know, I really honestly, you know, I when I first decided to follow this path, and my kids were actually, you know, it was at that point where we were trying to decide which church to send them to, and I actually heard in my mind somewhere, it was almost as if someone was speaking to me that said, start a church. And I went, what are you talking about, start a church? I can't even speak in front of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kinds of things happen to me. You know, I just suddenly am guided to do whatever it is. And that's how I got involved in the youth ministry. It's how I started the church up north. And it's how I ended up in Livonia. I wasn't looking to move from where I was at. I wasn't looking to change. I was at a minister's luncheon and heard that the ministers from Livonia were leaving. And there's just something inside of me started to stir and said, Livonia? And I went, oh, I know that feeling. Uh-oh, here mm-hmm. we go. And so, you know, I kept trying to kind of put that off. I was happy doing what I was doing, but it just kept coming back and mm-hmm. coming back. And I went, okay, all right, God.
Yeah,
I'll throw my hat in the ring.
Let's
see.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. And so here I am. So, you know, I wait and listen, and when it's time to be guided to do something, I do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you first became ordained, did you just kind of step back in awe when you think about the trip that led you to that point that you probably never thought you would get to? Were you really amazed at that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it started, like I said, in 1998. I was licensed in 2005. I finished up my ministerial studies at, there's a school in Detroit, the Unity Urban Ministerial School. I finished up my studies there, and yeah, I was standing there, and the CEO of Unity Worldwide Ministries, Reverend James Trapp, was there to officiate with Reverend Ruth Mosley, who was the director of the school for my ordination, and it was a magical experience.
Mm-hmm. And it's one that you obviously want to continue on. Now, when you are speaking in front of the congregation, are you sensitive to people's reactions to what you're talking about? Are you aware of that sometimes when you're actually speaking or not?
I believe I am. I'm usually kind of watching to see if people are engaged. And sometimes I can see somebody nodding their head. I love it when I see them taking notes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if I see them starting to get a little bit distant, they go, okay, it's time to wrap this up now, Eileen.
Right, yeah. Well, also, too, I mean, you try to get their participation as much as possible, too, don't you?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, and I spend some time on social media as well. I have a Facebook page and post my thoughts there. And so sometimes I'll engage some conversation with people in that way as well. And, you know, we get a little more one-on-one conversation that way.
Right. You do write some blogs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, is that pretty much on the website of the Unity website? Or
It depends on what I'm writing. In some cases, I'm writing on my personal blog, which is eileenpatra.com. In other cases, especially if I'm writing the blog following a Sunday talk, I'll try to put some of that into a written piece, and that will be posted on the blog for the church, which is unityoflavonia.org. And I post back and forth, so I will share what's posted on Unity of Livonia, and sometimes, depending on what it is, Unity of Livonia will share what I've written.
Mm-hmm. And do you enjoy counseling people as well?
I do, yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, sometimes people just need someone to listen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe just, you know, give an objective thought. Or, you know, counseling in Unity is really spiritual counseling. It's very much prayer-based. You know, it's listening and then, you know, bringing people back to a remembrance of, you know, of who they are, that they are children of God. And let that work through you, and let that be the strength that guides you through whatever it is that you're going through today.
Mm-hmm. Do people surprise you sometimes with some of the things that they tell you where you think, oh, I don't believe that, you know, they're telling me this, but you still have to be professional. And is that something that you just take in stride?
Well, you know, interesting enough, and I you would hear this, I think, from other people that are, you know, professional counselors as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, yes, you do hear some things that are, you know, really heart-wrenching, you know, to put it mildly. And, you know, we speak to each other. You know, when you find something so heart-wrenching that you can't let it go, you speak with another counselor who can also hold things in confidence that can, you know, that can help you through that. Because listening to other people's challenges, you know, your heart just goes out to them. And sometimes you need a way to release that.
Mm-hmm. Is it hard to advise people at times?
Well, I don't really, I try not to advise, because it's not mine to advise.
Okay. You're more of a sounding board?
I'm more of a sounding board, and I like to redirect you to spirit within you and help you to find your own way. And certainly I do hold everything confidential when I'm counseling.
Right. Well, that's very important. I mean, people have to have your trust.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely.
What is the thing you most enjoy about being the senior minister at Unity of Livonia, or just being a minister in general?
Well, at Livonia, I think what I enjoy most is the amazing people that are there, and just watching how loving they are to one another, how loving they are to people who walk in through the door, and just how well they do ministry. You know, because it's really not about me, it's about them, and about, you know, and how they live the vision, you know, and the mission of Unity of Livonia. And that's just an amazing thing to watch.
Mm-hmm. And do you see that every week?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. You just never know from week to week, right?
I really do see it with the people. I see it every day, every week. You know, building issues can sometimes come up in your face. And what brings me back to why I'm there is, you know, the interchange between people. I am probably one of the most fortunate people in the world. Where I go to work every day, people are loving and accepting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just an amazing experience every day.
And you would say that you love your job?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's unique right there, because I don't think too many people can honestly say that. But for somebody to, you know, really feel that, I think that's fantastic, you know, because they say that if you find a job you love, you'll never work another day in your life because it won't seem like work. Right. Is that the way it feels to you?
When we're talking ministry, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the roof or things like that, it's work.
But, right. You know, ultimately that too is really ministry. Mm-hmm. Because in that, in working together towards that, that was a transforming experience, working through that roof. Because we looked at the roof not just as the work that needed to be done, but we looked at the history of the church. And how that that leaking roof and the consciousness that was held about it were a part of the whole group consciousness. And how could we move past that? You know, what did we need to release? You know, and what was it that was trying to rein in on us? You know, so we looked at it in a very prayerful and metaphysical way as we worked through that. So it was an incredibly growing experience. And, you know, when you're growing, it's not always easy.
Right, it isn't.
But when you look back, you go, wow, that was cool.
That was
good.
Right. Well, you overcame something. You found a solution. Obviously, that's going to make you feel good.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us, you know, maybe sum up how to get in touch with you or the church, maybe their website, and, again, what the times of the services are and all that good information, and, again, your event?
Sure. If you'd like more information, you can visit our website at www.unityoflivonia.org. And you'll find information about our services, which are Sundays at 10 a.m. And our youth ministry program is also Sunday at 10 a.m. And then Wednesday at 7 p.m., we have our meditation. We call it the Meditation and Mindful Musings service, which includes our spiritual discussion. We have just a plethora of activities at Unity of Livonia. There's classes going on. There's support groups. There's Toastmasters. There's Course in Miracles groups. So visiting our website, you'll get a feel for all the things that are going on there, including, of course, our festival.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Course in Miracles, isn't that really something that's very important to the Unity, message?
Well, A Course in Miracles and Unity are not the same, and yet they
work well together.
They work well together. Thank you. The word won't come, but yes, they work well together. And many people who are in Unity are also Course in Miracles students. And so we have three Course in Miracles groups at Unity of Livonia, which is pretty unusual to have have that many, but they are all wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, does each one have its own different mission, so to speak?
Or? Well, because we have one group that's kind of doing a beginning course, and one that does a more in-depth course, and so they're each slightly different, and they're different instructors. You know, people who are in the course sometimes relate more to one instructor than another. So, and sometimes they move from one to the other. Some of them attend all three.
Mm-hmm. And what would be your parting wisdom to everybody out there, just whatever you feel you should let people know?
Oh, okay. So my parting wisdom would be to remind you that our thoughts our feelings, and our words and actions create our experiences. And my favorite quote from co-founder Myrtle Fillmore is, if you want the love to grow, watch the little seeds that you plant.
Okay. Well, Reverend Eileen, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it. And thank you for being on the show.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
And I just want to thank my guest for this month, Reverend Eileen Patra, who is currently serving as senior minister at the Unity in Livonia, Michigan. It's called Unity of Livonia. And they are going to have their festival coming up. And that's going to be on Saturday, October 7th, 2017, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is only $5, and they're going to have a lot of products, presentations, free workshops, a lot of great stuff. Once again, that's going to be at Unity of Livonia, and that's located at 28660 Five Mile Road in Livonia, Michigan. Again, you can always go to the website to find out more information about this event, so I wish them the best of luck with that. And again, I want to thank her for just being herself, very informative about Unity and how she goes about, you know, giving the sermons and talking to the congregation. So I thank Reverend Eileen for doing that. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, who helps me out with this show. And be sure to join me for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. It's always on the third Tuesday of the month, so be sure to come back on the next third Tuesday of the month for another edition of this show. With all that being said, I want to thank you for listening and have a great day, everybody.
Jared Champion here. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Yo, guys and dolls, you're at the malt shop with Daddy G. And we're going back to the 50s and 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop, where the jukebox is playing, the kids are dancing, and here we are, back in the 50s.
Well, I'm looking over.